Ghost Wolf Radio calling. Ghost Wolf Radio calling. This is Ghost Wolf, Aryan Pariah, White Proletariat, White Working Class, White Werewolf, White Underground Insurgent, Guerrilla Radio calling. Ghost Wolf Radio is brought to you by the Insurgency Radio Network, all made possible by the one true insurgent to start it all, the one who actually gave me a voice. I could have never done this with NSM or National Alliance or Aryan Nations, and I'm not coming down on those guys, but this could have, me doing these radio programs would have never happened under anyone else other than the man I consider my ideological father, Tom Metzger. You can reach Tom Metzger at tm_Metzger@yahoo.com. You can write him at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. You can call the Aryan Update line. Tom puts out a new message sometimes every other day, sometimes 3 or 4 days in between messages, and that number is 574-267-5036. And today, I want to be doing a little bit of reading out of Combat Training of the Individual Soldier and Patrolling, FM 21-75. But I want to talk a minute about a book here. You know, every so often a book will come to my attention, and I can't say this about every book, but sometimes there's a book that just comes along, and just because of the writing style of the author, it's just, I just can't put it down once I start reading it. And I've seen this book advertised many times in Lumpanics, and I think Paladin Press is even advertising. The book is called The Policeman Is Your Friend and Other Lies by a guy by the name of Ned Beaumont. I guess he used to be a police officer. He used to be a teacher also. And he talks about a lot of things that are wrong in contemporary modern America. But in the introduction, you know, and I want to read a few paragraphs every show or so, because I think this guy has it on straight as far as we truly live in a world that is make-believe. I mean, you know, to be a white racist, you really, to be a white racist, you are probably one of the most informed people in this country. You probably know, are in a better touch of reality than anyone else, including professors and politicians and bankers and all these so-called impressive people. But this is what he said in the introduction. He says, you hold in your hands a book about lies. Not a book of lies, mind you, but a book about lies. The lies with which we shall deal in the following pages are the lies of modern America. Deep down in its fatty heart, modern America is a society built upon lies, supported by lies, and dedicated to promoting lies. That last aspect, the promotion of lies, is vital to the strength of society. Lying starts early in modern America. Indeed, it starts in childhood. The younger, the better. That is by design. For that which sinks in early sinks in deeply. As you will find most of the facts, in quotation marks, we were taught as children, and most of the truths, in quotation marks, that hold together our crumbling civilization are in fact lies designed to keep people unthinkingly obedient. Those lies reach into all parts of society, education, the economy, government, and the rest. And I'll get back to that on some other shows. But this guy, I love his writing style. He's right to the point. He's in your face. But, he ain't saying nothing new to us, is he? We've been saying this stuff for years. But for us to continue on and try to win converts over to our side, you know, it's really a fruitless endeavor. It's an exercise in futility to try to debate with people and to win the argument. By all means, research and know what you believe, you know. A lot of people in the struggle, I've met a lot of young racialist skinhead types who just aren't doing enough reading. I really don't know what led them into the racial thing. I mean, you know, maybe they were picked on by blacks in school. But I still stand by what I've said on a number of shows, that if you're going to read, it's okay. I think it's great to read stuff like this, but it's, if you're going to read, I would try to make most of your reading dealing with stuff that has a tactical significance. Okay. Oh, by the way, if you hear this, that's the tape recorder. You know, sometimes I inadvertently drag it across the table, and it sounds like I'm clearing my throat, but I'm not. It's the table that does that. All right. I said on the show that, and actually I got this out of that book from Ned Beaumont, that just in ancient Rome, the Praetorians, who were supposed to be the guards of the Caesar, weren't really there to defend the nation from alien threats, but were to uphold the whims of the Caesars and his cronies. Our federal law enforcement agencies are America's Praetorians. He said in his book, other Praetorians are the U.S. Postal Service, the U.S. Postal Inspectors. I didn't notice, but you know, they pack firearms? That's amazing that people in the post office have the power to arrest and put handcuffs on people and carry sidearms. The EPA has agents who are packing heat. There are way too many gun-toting feds with this corrupt society. He also talks about the sheriff's department. You know, sheriff, the sheriff is an ancient Anglo-Saxon institution. I mean, this, it goes way back, you know, hundreds of years. Just want to let you guys know that this show is coming from my own personal bunker, underground, subterranean establishment that I have made. Okay, let's talk about some things here. I've said before that we need to be a face-to-face insurgency. I said that the other day, and I really didn't elaborate on it. I guess basically what I'm trying to get across is that I truly believe, I most wholeheartedly believe that we need to be by ourselves. And there's a downside to that. If we're by ourselves, then there's no one to hold us accountable. You know, I mean, we could easily rationalize with ourselves that, you know, just maybe checking out something or going on a patrol one night or, you know, scouting targets, you know, we're being racially active. You know, you could do that to a point, but if you're doing that for months and months and you're scouting all this stuff and verifying this and verifying that and not doing nothing, you really need to take a hard look at yourself. So the downside of the lone wolf, the ghost wolf, is that there's no accountability. But then again, on the upside, there's no one to betray you either. Now, I've been doing a lot of reading on guerrilla warfare lately, and I stand by the fact that guerrilla warfare, I mean, the ghost wolf will be, I think will have a, will be batting 1,000. Damn near 1,000. I mean, the chance of him ever being caught or apprehended or neutralized is just, I'm not saying it's impossible. I mean, nothing's impossible. I mean, there are plenty of things that seem impossible, but they have a soft underbelly to them. But I'm saying that this ghost wolf thing, the lone wolf, but the more fanatical lone wolf, the ghost wolf, I'm telling you, you guys have unlimited power, practically. And remember what we talked about before with power. There are many types of power. And there's media power, economic power, business power, military power, police power, governmental powers, all kinds of power. We don't have none of them. But we have disruptive power. And how many of you are exercising your disruptive power? So when we do start networking, and now's the time not to network. I truly believe now's the time that we live by the adage, swimming in the sea of the people, more so than Mao ever thought. I'm telling you, I feel very, very convinced about this, and I'm going to harp on it a lot, because I really believe the lone wolf, ghost wolf thing someone who's fanatical, who's just wants to be active for his race and do whatever he can, you know, and you know, it, don't set your sights too high, meaning don't think that this thing could be won in a month or a year. Okay, we have some things helping us out. Mother Nature's helping us out. The ice caps are melting. That's helping us. That needs to, you know, continue. You know, there's droughts in Africa. There's wars and stuff in Africa. You know, the Chinese capitalist system I was reading the other day is really has a lot of vulnerabilities to it. Okay? This economic crisis, this is good stuff. This is the time. This is the time to really start getting active. Not sitting on your ass being a couch potato and, you know, and allowing your waistband to get to expand, okay? But to be a face-to-face insurgency, when it comes time to network, we cannot do it electronically, okay? All right, let's talk about messengers when we do get into a cell structure and an actual guerrilla warfare. If it has to be a written message, it's got to be very concise. And it should only really say what, when, and where, okay? And if there's going to be a who in there, it should be a code name. But by all means, try to have the messenger memorize the message instead of carrying a written message, all right? After a message is read, if it is written, burn it immediately, okay? Messengers must be above reproach. They have to be reliable. They can't be somebody who's got a problem. They can't be somebody who's flighty and scared all the time. They can't be somebody who's afraid to walk around in the woods at night. Okay? It's got to be someone who can handle himself. Messengers must be approached. Okay, maps and overlays and aerial photos can be sent by using a messenger. And this is what I'm talking about with this face-to-face insurgency. I don't want to email this stuff. I mean, I don't mind you guys emailing me stuff. I know I have an associate in Sweden who's been trying to email me something, but for some reason, I'm getting a lot of blocks on it. So if that associate out there can just please download it on your computer, send it to Tom Metzger, P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581, USA, and I'll make good use of it on one of these shows. Please do that. Also, to my insurgent friend, I believe in New York, the one who had car problems, he had to leave his car on the medium. Mm-hmm. Keep the faith, brother. You're going to have downtimes. You're going to have things that go south on you, like I talked about in the other show. You just got to keep at it. There's plenty of shit that went awry with me when I was doing stuff. And, you know, I talk about the things I do in vague terms. I don't give specifics. There are guys on a radio, I don't know if it's AM, FM radio, or internet radio, who claimed, you know, like a guy, I don't remember his name, and if I did remember his name, I won't talk about it. No one affiliated with us, but talk about how he killed some people and dumped them in Tampa Bay or San Francisco Bay. You know what, I mean, when I hear stuff like that, red flags go off in my head. Because for one, if you're to say something like that, and months later you're not behind bars, you know, I just, you know, stuff like that makes me nervous. I tend not to trust someone who says something like that, and they're not in a jumpsuit somewhere with shackles and, you know, around the feet and handcuffs around the hands, you know. So, but when I talk about stuff, I don't give. I'm very vague in what I talk about, and I purposely do it that way. And I will tell you this. The things that I have done, I didn't leave no swastika at the sign. I didn't leave no white power. I left absolutely no propaganda. Okay? Because I want people out there to be scratching their heads. Who the fuck did this? Was it a racist? Was it a black guy? Was it a Mexican? Was it a woman? Was it a child? Okay? Think about it. It'll make sense to you. Just think about it. Okay, so maps and overlays and aerial photos can be sent using a messenger. After the person receives them, he has to burn them immediately. The person who sends a messenger should provide him or her
with the following info. Okay? Name and location of person or group who is to receive the message. That's number one. Number two, follow or the route to follow and possible alternate.
You should, if you have a route somewhere, and you know what, you could be by yourself. You're on an op, right? You have one route to your objective mapped out. You should always have an alternate. You don't know what you're going to run into on your primary route. You could be compromised. You could be assaulted by a gang of shitskins. A lot of stuff can happen.
Always have an alternate route if you can. Okay. Some other info that a person who sends a messenger should give that messenger is, number three, danger points to avoid. Okay, number four, speed required, create a priority status. You know, like this is hot, this has got to get there.
This, you know, this is like code yellow or something that's, you know, it needs to get there within a couple of days. You know what I mean? You know, develop your own SOP, your own standard operating procedures when you do this stuff.
Five, where to go if message cannot be delivered.
You can have an alternate person to give it to who they can give that message to the actual intended target.
Or not intended target, but intended person.
And like I said, we're not at this thing, at this type of structure yet. What I'm really trying to do, I've been doing a lot of reading, you know, trying to refresh my memory on stuff that I did in the service. I'm really trying to create an audio textbook that you guys can refer to. That's why I'm trying my best to get all the Ghost Wolf shows in one section so you don't got to hunt for them, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, even in 2009, you know, Tom Metzger can't do everything. I mean, the guy just wore too many hats in his operation. You know, there are some Ghost Wolf shows that aren't marked. So I got to, you know, try to hunt down the ones I do every week so they can get on there. So, no knock on him, but it's just, he's got a lot of shit going on.
So, just want something you guys can refer to, okay, before the internet gets shut down. Because I don't believe the internet will last forever. Where to go if message cannot, okay. Number five, where to go if message cannot be delivered. You know, maybe an alternate person you can give it to. Number six, contents of message if situation warrants.
Basically, you can tell the messenger, all right, this is what's in the message. If you look like you're going to be compromised, you need to destroy this thing, but maybe memorize it in case you get out of that jam and are able to deliver the message.
Okay? It's kind of like a backup plan. Number seven, special instructions, if any. If on foot, use the route with cover and concealment. If you travel at night, recon the route during the day.
I want to stress something right here. I keep talking about using the, you know, like, you'd rather walk through the woods at night than an open field or whatever. I talk about this on a number of shows. Listen, if you have a choice to walk in an open area, or walk through a thicket sounding like a herd of buffalo at night going through the woods, then you need to walk on the open field, but you need to walk as close as you can to the woods. If the terrain is hard negotiating and you're just making a lot of noise, and remember, noises are louder at night, you need to find the most covered and concealed route you can take, but the one that's not as noisy. Okay, so I don't want you guys to take this stuff. All this stuff I'm giving you is a guide. Don't take it literally, oh, I have to walk through these woods, you know, at night, you know, even though you need a machete to get through the stuff. No, you don't want to go through anywhere at night using machete. Okay, you're a ghost wolf. You're by yourself. You need to not be detected by anybody.
Okay? So, the only time you should be carrying a machete is for a weapon. Okay. Travel at night, recon the route during the day. Okay, if leaving comrade's location, make you do so without disclosing his location. All right,
if you leave a forward position, you're going to go deliver this message, leave that friendly position in a way that you don't give it away by somebody who's observing from like maybe 300 yards away. All right? You want to get out of that position, but not give that person away, okay? Because you could be actually mark in that person's position by someone who's observing from maybe a wood line across the field or something like that, okay? So, don't give your comrades away. If threat of capture, memorize it and then destroy it. Okay, I've talked about that. Oral messages are used to expedite time. Keep them short and sweet. Have messenger repeat message to ensure clarity. Okay, if there's an oral message, you tell the guy the message. Have your messenger repeat it back to you so there's no follow-ups, there's no mix-ups, okay? All right, messenger should, if we... my fucking writing's like chicken scratch. Thanks, Chicago Public School System. You did a great job with me. Messenger should, if return message is necessary. Okay. All right. My shorthand. Now I understand what I'm trying to say. All right. Your messenger delivers the message. The person who delivers the message to, ask him if he has a return message that he needs to take back to his, you know, Ghost Wolf cell leader or his, you know, his team leader or whatever. Love those Monster Energy drinks, man. Low carb, only 20 grams or 20 calories. Put the sugar in them. Gotta get off that stuff. All right. If message cannot be delivered to addressee, the person, then give it to a reliable comrade. I think I've talked about that. Keep record of that person. Keep record of that person for the sender. All right. You have to give it to an alternate person. Make sure you get that person's name, or whether it's a code name, a description, something, so when you get back to the guy who initiated the message, you can tell him that it was this person that got it, because you couldn't give it to the intended person. Okay? All right. If captured in a guerrilla environment, try to escape as soon as possible. The battlefield will be a confusing place. And as a POW, medical care will be subpar. Okay, this is not talking about messengers anymore. This is talking about we're in a hot guerrilla war in this country. And maybe we're battling against UN troops or something. You know? That could happen. You never know. Definitely within the realm of possibility. But if you're captured, your best time to escape is right then and there, or within, you know, the immediate time structure there. Because if you get taken back to the rear to an actual POW camp, it's going to be very difficult for you to escape. Okay, so your best chance of escaping is right there in the battlefield, you know, where the place is still confusing. The troops that captured you don't have the training to detain a captured person, okay? You know, the guy, they have, you know, soldiers that are specially trained to deal with prisoners of war in prisoners of war camps. So, all right, as a POW, medical care will be subpar, right? Lack of nutrition, which will degrade mental faculties and cognition, night blindness, and etc. Okay, you get taken to a camp, and you're there for a year, 18 months, 2 years, 5 years, your health is going to go down the drain pretty drastically. You know, I guess your hair falls out, your teeth will be falling out, you have night blindness, you won't be able to negotiate through the woods. Your best, you would rather die trying than to be taken to a camp. And don't forget, if we get to a point where we're in a guerrilla war in this country, or North America, or the Midwest, who knows, maybe North America will balkanize into, like, you know, little countries, little provinces. That'll be great. You know, take it all back, piecemeal at a time. But anyways, you don't want to get taken to a camp, especially with racial views. I mean, you'd be tortured and shit. You know, I'm not talking about now. I mean, I don't think law enforcement's going to torture us now. But they use different tactics. They use mental torture. You know, like what they're doing with Matt Hale. They're keeping him in isolation and, you know, he's in lockdown 23 hours a day. He's got the lights are on all the time in that prison. I don't know. That would drive me nuts. I got to sleep in darkness, you know. So always strive to escape as soon as you can.
The first enemy to handle you are not as trained to handle POWs as personnel in the rear, where this is specialized. Okay, I think I've talked about that. The first enemy to handle you may be distracted by their own physical condition, maybe injuries, and the immediate terrain that you're captured, and you know it. If you are transported to the rear, this will be many kilometers in foreign terrain you don't know. A whole lot of walking you'll have to do, and probably a subpar physical condition. Okay? This is guerrilla radio here, and this is what we're talking about. And I hope you guys, I'm telling you, I mean, I really hope you guys are doing some reading on your own. You know, I'm reading a section in this FM manual right now, this combat training of the individual soldier and patrolling. You know, I'm going over some of the tactics that they have on ambush. You know, just refreshing my memory. And I'm talking about the beta trap, L-shaped ambush, area ambush, which is most likely the type of ambush they'll use against guerrillas. The area ambush is the premier ambush technique to use in counterinsurgency, counter-guerrilla operations. But I want to try and find a way where these diagrams that depict the ambush and how it's set up, I want to see if we can get these on the internet somehow at resist.com. Maybe we can get a tactic. You know how they got all the choices on the left side of the website? Maybe we can have a tactics or something like that. Or if it is, maybe, you know, we got to have a code, you know, to type in. You know, you got to be in the radio club to get access to that. And I wrote merchandise the other day, and I want Ghost Wolf Radio. I don't want anyone having free access to that. You know, if you're going to have access to all this knowledge and stuff, and I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying I'm the fucking king shit when it comes to guerrilla operations or whatever. You know, I trained in counterinsurgency type of stuff when I was in the military. I actually had to portray guerrillas fighting counterinsurgency troops so they can have training in counterinsurgency. So, you know, I have a lot of experience with this. I don't have as much experience as a Navy SEAL or British SAS or Marine Recon or Army Delta Force, but I probably have more than enough experience than the average Joe out there. You know, most of the guys you meet that are in the service, and I'm not knocking you guys if you were, you know, of these MOSs, if you were supply or truck driver. They don't get this type of training. I was infantry, so I did get it. But I want you guys to read on this stuff, and I want, you know, this is good tactics, and I want this stuff to be second nature to you guys, because I want you guys to pass it on to your kids and so forth, so that'll be great. All right, so make your escape early and do so when the enemy is distracted. If you do escape from the rear area, try to time your exfiltration, that's the opposite of infiltration, that means you're getting out of the area, through enemy lines at night. Talk about a lot of night ops here. There's reason for that. It's natural. But, you know, don't let the night lull you into a false sense of security. Okay? You don't want to be walking out in the middle of a trail at night. Oh, it's dark out. They can't see me. They could have infrared. They could have starlight scopes, you know? So, you want to maximize all cover and concealment, even at night. Okay? I'm going to do a little reading now in FM 21-75, Combat Training of the Individual Soldier and Patrolling, written by the Department of the Army in 1967. Like I said, you know, their principal enemy in mind when they were writing this were the Viet Cong. If you can get a hold of FM 7-8, I recommend you do that because that's more upgraded. I think that was written in the mid-80s, I think. Early 80s, I'm not sure. Always try to find upgraded tactics to a lot of things. And I hope you guys are interested in that. I hope you guys are, you know, doing stuff like that. All right, let's talk about movement. Follow these general rules to move without being seen or heard by the enemy. Prepare yourself and your equipment. You don't want to be wearing anything noisy. Loose change, keys, pants that swish. I've talked about that, right? Camouflage yourself in your equipment. Okay. You know, I did something one time, and I had to wear my glasses, okay? So I got a hold of a black boonie hat. You can buy them at an Army surplus store. And the rest of my outfit was in black because I wasn't... When I had this outfit, I had my, what I call my uniform, I guess. I guess where I was walking was not on city streets. I was going cross country, okay? And I noticed when I was doing a night recon of this thing that I was going to do maybe a week later at night, I noticed that when my route took me to where this road, I mean, the road was far away. The road... this L-shape, this bend in the road, when a car would come around this road, even though I'm like 150 to 200 meters away from the road, I don't want the headlights reflecting off my glasses. And I didn't have contacts at the time. And if you wear glasses, get contacts. But don't tell anyone you got contacts. Hide them in your apartment. Don't let anyone find them. Okay? I didn't want people's headlights, you know, reflecting off my glasses. Now, can they see that 200 meters away? Maybe not, but I didn't want to take a chance. So I had a black drive-on rag, or, you know, like a bandana across my face. I had it under my nose because I noticed when I put it over my nose, when I would breathe, my glass would fog up, and I didn't want that. So I had it under my nose, okay, so I would breathe in and out through my nose, and I had that black boonie cap that was... And all I had to do, if I saw a car come around that bend, you know, even, like I said, even though the bend in the road was anywhere from 150 meters to 200 meters away, all I had to do was just tilt my head down, and the brim of my boonie hat would cover my glasses. So, yeah. Am I being a stickler about camouflage when I did that? Absolutely. But you know what? I like to be a stickler about stuff like that. Is that over-analysis? Can that lead to paralysis? I don't think so. You just got to think about stuff. Maybe I think about activities for the race more than the average person. I hope not. I hope I'm not the poster child. I hope I'm the most soft-core, limp-wristed freaking insurgent out there. I hope that there's guys listening to this show who are 10 times more hardcore than me. I'm serious. Keep your identification tags together. Well, you won't be wearing tags or a necklace on your neck, will you? Okay, tape or pad parts of your weapon. All right, I don't want to beat a dead horse here. All right, wear soft, well-fitting clothes. Starched clothing swishes as you move. So loose, baggy clothing may snag on brushes. You know what? I wear loose, baggy clothing. I've never had it snag on brushes. So... It's better than wearing tight clothing. You do not want to wear tight clothing. Trust me. You don't want you don't want to chafe between your legs. You don't want to chafe in the back of your knees or, you know. Just wear nice, loose-fitting clothing, okay? If you had to, you know, climb up over a fence or climb up on a rock formation, you don't want nothing restricting your movement, okay? All right, in dealing with security here, darkness provides a great deal of protection. Use these hints to gain greater security. No one used challenge and password. Okay, I might as well talk about that now. All right, let's say we're in a kind of like a defensive position. Since we're ghost wolves, we don't hold ground, do we? We're just another phenomenon of the guerrilla, of an insurgent, a partisan. We don't hold ground. We're not going to be digging foxholes and stuff like that. So when I say position, I don't mean a foxhole or a pillbox, but just a defensive position, you know, in a depression with maybe some rocks to shoot from behind or a log or the base of a tree. Okay, but that's our position. Okay, challenge your password. Okay, let's say, you know, Tom Metzger's going from one ghost wolf cell to another to coordinate something. And I'm pulling security, and all of a sudden I see a guy walking towards me. Well, I don't automatically assume it's an enemy because I know friendlies are in the area. Remember, this is during a hot guerrilla war. So I'll say halt when he's a certain. I don't want to say when he's far away,
I don't want to say when he's 150 meters away. You know, maybe like 50 meters away, maybe 35 meters away. Definitely before hand grenade range, which is a typical hand grenade range is 35 meters or so. But, you know, you can see the silhouette of a person. He can hear. You don't want to shout it. You don't. You only want you and anyone else in the immediate area to hear it, okay? You don't want to be shouting this because you don't want a possible enemy to hear the challenge and password from 75 feet away, okay? So you wait till he's a pretty good distance away from you. You can see him. He don't really know where you're at. So I see Tom coming through the woods, right? It's dark. I see the silhouette of his move, his shape coming. I say, halt. I say, who goes there? He says, Tom Metzger. I say, advance one to be recognized. If he's with a group, I don't want his whole group coming up to my position. What if they bum rush my position? You know, I got to try and take five or six well-aimed shots at night. Probably not going to happen. Okay, so I only want to deal with one guy. If he's with a group, his group's going to stand fast, and Tom Metzger's going to come forward. All right, so after I say advance one to be recognized, when he gets a little bit closer, I'm going to say halt. And I'll say maybe state your business. And he's going to say, I got to coordinate with another cell or something. I got to come through friendly lines here because I got to go talk with someone else or whatever. You know, he's not going to give specific instructions. He's going to make them vague just in case there's enemy in earshot. Okay? I'll say apple. He'll say pie if that's the password or whatever. So that's how the challenge and password will work. Okay, use the buddy system. Okay? You got another guy in your immediate position right there with you. He could sleep while you're pulling security. You can be pulling security while he's cleaning his weapon, while he's eating. You don't want to both be eating in your fighting position there. Like I said, not a foxhole, it's just a fighting position. You're pulling security. You know, if he's brushing his teeth, you're pulling security. If you're cleaning your weapon, he's pulling security. If he's eating, you're pulling security. Okay? If he's doing foot maintenance, and believe me, you got to take care of your feet as a white gorilla. You have to take care of your feet. All right. Rotate rest and watch periods with your buddy. Talk about that. If he's sleeping, you're pulling security. If you're sleeping, he's pulling security. All right, keep all light concealed. A lighted match is visible for a great distance. If light is necessary, use a flashlight with a red filter under a poncho. Make maximum use of hand grenades. They are an aerial weapon and do not reveal your location. Okay, if I'm firing from a position, you know, the flash at the tip of my barrel will be seen at night. Even though my weapon system, whether it's an AR-15 or AK-47, I mean, even though it has somewhat of a flash suppressor, you can still see it. But a grenade, you know, you have enemies approaching, you can throw a grenade, they don't know where it came from. It's an area weapon. You can get, you know, I mean, you don't have to get a direct hit. If it's within 5 meters, 5 to 10 meters, you know, you're going to get some casualties. All right. When moving, watch and feel for tripwires. Now, we did this one time. We did a technique to deal with this one time. And it was like this. We're walking along, and we didn't want to trip any tripwires, so the point man had a stick, you know, like maybe a 3-4 foot stick, you know, sticking out from maybe, you know, he carried it like at belt level. His stick is somewhere horizontal. And he would have a white string or a white piece of rope hanging from the edge of the stick. And when he's walking along, and if you see the rope, or, you know, not a heavy rope now, but, you know, a light piece of rope, maybe string, and it looks like it's caught on something, you can't really see it, well, look real closer, and that's your tripwire. That's a way of locating tripwires. That technique will work. Okay. A technique of night fighting is pointing method, looking over the top of the barrel with your head held high and both eyes open during all conditions of visibility. What the fuck he's talking about there? Under conditions of very high illumination, the mass of your sights can be seen well enough to improve your alignment. Okay, if you got an aerial flare, you can maybe use your sights.
But if you're, it's pretty dark out and all you can see is shadows, that's when you point shoot. You can't, I mean, it's just too dark to use the iron sights of your weapon. You know, try point shooting at a range, you know, where you don't use your sights at all. You know, hook up your target, you know, send it out maybe 21 feet. Remember, because that's the average distance that it takes a person to get out a knife and rush you. You know, if he's within 21 feet, you know, he's going to get you if he's got a knife. So be quick on the draw. And do target practice without using the sights on your Sig Sauer or your Taurus, whatever you got, Desert Eagle. Use point shooting, okay? You may be able to locate enemy positions by having one or two men move off to one side and fire a few rounds to draw the enemy's fire. That's called recon by fire, by the way. I don't recommend as a Ghost Wolf you do that, or a Gorilla. You're not trying to find enemy positions. They're trying to find you. You need to move stealthily. Remember, your goal is to take your 20 guys or against their 2 to 3 guys. You want to take your 5 guys against their 1 to 2 guys. You would never take your 5 guys against their 5 or 6 because they're more heavily armed, they're better trained possibly. Okay, the enemy may use this technique against you. Do not fall for this trick. It is in a defensive position. Fire when you detect the enemy. When he is firing or not in the attack, fire only after the enemy detects and fires at you unless you receive other orders. Okay, so recon by fire. Do not do it, but they will try to do it to you. All right, some active measures that you can take here. All right, a boxer partially protects himself. They're using an analogy here of the boxer. Partially protects himself by using his hands and arms to ward off blows and by using his feet to move around and deceive and evade his opponent. He gets even more protection by attacking his opponent, by aggressively boring in, keeping him off balance and so busy defending that he cannot fight back. The harder you hit the enemy on the battlefield, the more protection you have. Your means to destroy the enemy are also your means of self-protection. You know what? I only don't want to read that for field applications in a combat environment, but as an ideology. Our race, without using hyperbole, is going the way of the dinosaur. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is true. It is real. It's not some wild-eyed speculation from some guy who needs to be put in the funny farm. Okay? It is true. The white race is going the way of the dinosaur. Now, I talked about it a number of shows ago about self-offense. Are you going to wait until you're attacked before you receive validation that maybe you're in danger? Is that what the white race is doing? Do we have to wait before we're personally attacked, before we defend our race, our family? All of our neighborhoods are going to shit. All of them. And everywhere. Not just Chicago and Crook County. I saw some story about Brockton, Massachusetts the other day on TV. It looked like it was loaded down with niggers and spicks. Brockton, Massachusetts. That's where that Italian boxer came from. What was it? Rocky Marciano. Retired, what, 45-0? The only boxer to retire undefeated, but with that many. I know you can say Floyd Mayweather retired at, what, 30-0. He didn't retire at 45-0. But, I mean, Brockton, Massachusetts. You know, they showed it on TV. Man, it looked like a fucking ghetto. So, are we going to wait until we're personally in danger for validation that our race is in danger? You're going to wait until you're a senior citizen before you say, man, I should have done something. Or before you come to the conclusion that our race is in jeopardy? If you wait till then, it's too late. The only thing, the only action you can that can afford you then is a suicide mission. I'd rather have you do as much as you can now. Okay? I want to talk about weaknesses of enemy tanks real quick, because you don't know whether we'll have to be facing. You can be an insurgent in Britain, have to fight against your own tanks, the Centurions. You can be in the United States having a fight against the Abrams. All right. The presence of enemy tanks presents a real and psychological threat, but they have definite limitations which make it possible for you to destroy them. The tank's ability to maneuver is limited in built-up area. That's cities. Defiles, that's where it goes through a low ground with hill or with high ground on each of its flank. Swampy and mountainous countries, forest, and during darkness, rainy weather. Well, not darkness. Tanks now have infrared, so tanks didn't have infrared back then, or in the 60s. But individual tanks not protected by infantry and other tanks are ideal targets for hunter-killer teams. Having relatively thin armor on the sides and rear and bottom, they are extremely vulnerable to fire on these surfaces. Small arms fire on the tank forces it to button up. Okay, this limits visibility and maneuverability. Tanks have blind spots, especially on the sides and the rear when buttoned up. You can move in under a cover of darkness from your unit to take advantage of these blind spots and employ your anti-tank weapons against the sides and rear. You may knock them out or immobilize them by placing explosives on or between their tracks. Once the tank is immobilized, the tank crew is at your mercy. Learn the capabilities and limitations of the enemy's tanks. Seek out weak spots and take advantage of them. The aggressive, well-trained individual or small unit presents a threat to any enemy tank. And that is true. When I was in the military, a tanker's worst enemy is a grunt in the woods with an anti-tank weapon. Because you can't see him. And he can see you, and he can shoot you from top down. I mean, if you're on high ground and shooting down on a tank, that's beautiful. Right there on one of the hatches, right there on where the turret spins, you know, where you got the TC tank commander and you got the gunner in there. Most of your tanks have a crew of four. The whole world over, you had the TC, the tank commander. He most of the time sticks out of the hatch because he has a greater visibility by doing that. He'll have binos and binoculars and, you know, searching his sector of fire, and he'll give a command to the gunner for a target. He has an override switch where he can traverse the tank and put his gunner on target or in the vicinity. He has a greater field of vision than the gunner. So you have the TC and the gunner in the turret, you know, the thing that spins on top. You have the driver who's up on your left front of all tanks, or in the very middle of the front. And then you have the loader. He's not in the turret. He's more or less in the back. So all you tanks have a crew of four. A loader, a gunner, a TC, tank commander, and a driver. So it's not out of the realm of possibility you may be forced to face them, okay? Because things get hot in this country, and like I said, I hope they do. You know, we need to make some things happen that way. And it's good to know the weaknesses of all your enemy. I'm telling you guys, I am thoroughly convinced that all of us, and it's incumbent upon all of us, every one of you guys out there in the radio at Radio Club, and I'm including, you know, Lone Wolf California, Lone Wolf Wall Street, Lone Wolf Computer Man, you know, these guys, everyone needs to be studying military tactics. You know, I mean, I do these shows because this is near and dear to my heart. This is my cup of tea right here, okay? And even before I was, you know, when I was a little kid, I was putting strategies together and snowball fights and stuff like that, and you know, that were pretty effective. I mean, even as a kid, this is my forte right here. All of us have gifts to give, or have talents that could serve the struggle. Every one of you out there has a talent that will serve the struggle. Some of you are just so motivated for activities of the race that you inspire other people. You know, not all of us can be technically savvy like Computer Guy. Not all of us know the in and outs of money and high finance like Lone Wolf Wall Street. I'm not particularly sure what Lone Wolf California or West Coast Guy, his talents are, but you know what? I'm sure he's used them to the best of his ability to serve the race. And that's exactly what all of us need to be doing. We need to be seeking improvement in every area
where we can be a better ghost wolf, a better gorilla, a better insurgent, okay? Remember, we changed the name from White Aryan Resistance to the Insurgent Resistance. You can be passive and be in a resistance. And I think Tom, he even said it that he changed the name because resistance compared to insurgent. Insurgent implies action, you know. And I'm glad he did that, and I'm glad he set that line of demarcation between passivity and action. Just like I borrowed the phrase ghost wolf to, you know, set the line of demarcation between a lone wolf and a ghost wolf. A lot of people out there say they're lone wolves, and I hope you guys are. Hope you guys are doing things that are classified as lone wolf. But remember, you're not networking, okay? You are part of a brotherhood, a more silent brotherhood than Robert J. Matthews could have never even dreamed. I don't think Robert J. Matthews knew about leaderless resistance. I think maybe he died before it really became prominent, okay? I think even Metzger, back in 83 and 84, was into, you know, kind of like an organization-type thing. I think he had the war skins going on and stuff like that. But leaderless resistance, everyone needs to get on board with this. All white organizations, okay? And if you're going to network, any of you guys out there, if you're going to network, please do not network out of the known organizations. Do not network out of the American Thule Society. And I'm not saying these organizations are bad, but every single white organization is penetrated. Every single one of them. There's no way they're not. Okay? I was found out from National Alliance. I mean, they got to know me because I had a tattoo of Beowulf, you know? And I confided in a guy who I thought was hardcore. I mean, I really befriended this skinhead who was in the National Alliance. I mean, I thought, man, this guy, you know what, he didn't really know a lot about martial arts and tactics. And I was really, and he was young, he was only 19. But he seemed really fanatical for the race. And I was really pouring myself into this guy. Tactics and fucking martial arts. I mean, I brought him over to my apartment a couple times, showing him some things, talking about guns and knives and defense against a gun, defense against a knife, you know, stick fighting, or anything I could show this guy I was teaching him. And sure enough, this is the guy that sold me out to the feds. That was the guy. I would have never thought it would be him. He was a skinhead. He was hardcore. He had hundreds of CDs of great skinhead bands. But that was the guy that sold me out. And you don't know who's going to sell you out in an organization. You absolutely have no clue who's going to be your Brutus. Okay? But nobody can sell you out. Nobody can rat on you if you're by yourself. But like I said, the only downfall of that is there's no accountability. You know, there's nobody to get in your ass and say, hey, you know what? All you've been doing this week is laying around. What have you done for the race? You know, you need to look in the mirror every day and say, what have I done for the race lately? And please don't say, well, I passed out some flyers. Man, the day of flyers, I mean, that, you know what? That's just an exercise in futility, man. You guys cannot be passing out flyers. Please don't do that. Not unless you pass on a flyer that says, you know, where you say you're part of the Nubian Liberation Front or the Nubian Revolutionary Front, and you're proud of the rape and murder and slaughter of those kids down in Knoxville, and, you know, you got their picture, and that you got the pictures of the black thugs praising them as heroes, passing them out in a racially mixed community. You know, I would sanction something like that, definitely. Make sure you don't leave no prints on that. Make sure you handle that propaganda with latex gloves the whole time, and make sure you pass it out under a cover of darkness. I mean that would be cool, I think. You know, but that can't be the end all be all of your activities, man. You gotta be about stuff that's more influential. You have to. Okay, because the time's short. You know? The window of opportunity. We only have a certain window of opportunity. You could wake up you know, on July 4th this year, and all of a sudden we're in a tyranny. They're going door to door collecting guns, man. They're collecting computers. The internet shut off. You know, you can't say shit on the phone. You know what I mean? I mean, that could happen. I mean, if there's a real economic collapse, and it looks like that the people are going to be heading into the streets, lighting shit on fire, doing whatever, that could happen. So, it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility. Definitely. Hey, just as a little side note here, I'm seeing a lot of niggers in my area. I mean, you know, I've only been living in Berwyn for, what, 2 years now? It's my second year. And, you know, it was pretty much a lot of Hispanics, a lot of Mexicans, and some whites. I'm seeing a lot of blacks in Berwyn lately, especially the last year. And this mortgage shit, you know, all these houses that, you know what, I mean, I think one of the end games of this thing is to diversify the neighborhoods even more. Because, I mean, you know, the banks want to get rid of these properties. They're dirt cheap. I mean, a black working class family can buy a house like that. I'm telling you, this mortgage thing is going to open up a doorway to bring more MUDs into white neighborhoods. I know it. Because if houses are foreclosed upon in the black and Hispanic neighborhoods, well, it's just going to be more blacks and Hispanics who buy those houses. But the houses in the white community where white families had to foreclose upon, and they had to vacate the premises, and now they're dirt cheap, fucking pennies on the dollar? I mean, these auctions, you know, these blacks and Mexicans go to auctions. You know, the stuff that was in this house, this empty house that I'm house sitting now. When they had the estate sale, all of them were fucking stinky-ass fucking spicks coming up through here, man, buying anything they can get their hands on. And it was a damn shame, too. It was a damn shame to see, you know, because the people who owned this house were the first family to move into it in 1957. The guy was a vet from World War II. You know, he lived in this area his whole life. Went to Morton East High School in Cicero when it was all white. I saw his yearbook. Oh, yeah, everyone was white in that motherfucker. I mean, I saw a couple big-nosed Jews, and I can tell they were Jews by their name and what they looked like. There were maybe a handful, like maybe five swarthy-looking people in the yearbook. But, man, you wouldn't believe the fucking blonde-haired, blue-eyed girls in this yearbook in 1938. I mean, beautiful faces. I mean, they're old now, but, I mean, just, we are losing it. And I know what I'm describing is happening in your area. Fucking nothing but spicks coming up through here, buying all his tools, hammers and saws he's had for years. And that's what's happening, man. The fucking Mexicans and blacks are like fucking vultures eating away at the dead white corpse, man. It is time for us to use means. It is time for you to be a law unto yourself. The laws that are written in this land are laws meant to run interference for the status quo of the elite, the financial institutions, to keep us in check. And you know what? We've really evolved into some scary-ass people, white people have. Blacks and Mexicans, they violate the law all the damn time. You know, they're a law unto themselves. Why aren't you? What are you saying, Frank? You want me to be like the niggers? No, I want you to fucking be a revolutionary is what I want you to be. I want you to live by the 14 words. We must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children. I want you to carpe noctem. I want you to seize the night. You have a problem with alcohol? You need to deal with it. Are you fat? You need to deal with that. Are you hooked on cigarettes? Marijuana? You need to deal with that. Or at least don't let it interfere with your activities. Okay? You don't have to run 5 miles to get away from a bunch of niggers or Zog. And if you're smoking cigarettes, well, you know, you're not going to have the breath for that. But you need to look at yourselves, man. Socrates said, know thyself. You guys need to know yourself. Know what you can do and know what you can't do. Okay?
You know, people are fighting on a lot of different fronts. People fight with words. They fight with the written word. They fight with their voices. They fight with demonstrations. We got enough of that. We don't have enough people fighting